Some time ago, I asked a blogger for permission to repost an essay she'd put on her site, and she granted me the permission to do so. 5 months later, I noticed that there had been a reply put below the post from the lady who had given me permission to post the article. And it said, "You did not ask me to write for you, and I did not give permission for you to use this post. Kindly remove it." I replied to her by email and reminded her that she had in fact given me permission, and I screenshotted the relevant permission, and I also respected her wish to pull it down, and that was the end of the situation. Until I got to thinking, I got to read a lot of her posts which I'd not read before, and they were very moralistic and highly principled. They were ones that guided the reader to always respect and honour one's wishes beyond all else. And I realised that just in this one act of saying remove the post, she had negated, to my mind, all of the principles which she had been talking about or writing about on her posts. You see, the one act of saying I did not give you permission and doing that in a public and malicious way, which affected my readers to make them believe that I was plagiarising and stealing other people's work, was the way that she obviously acts in her inner being. You see, I knew this to be right because she failed to reply to my email. Had she replied and said, "I didn't realise what your WordPress site was all about," or "it didn't fit in with my thoughts and I'd made a mistake," then I would have accepted that to be the way that it is, because we are all flattered when people ask us to change or ask us to use our work, because it's an acknowledgement that we've making an impact. You see, if we analyse the demand, it says, "You did not give me permission to write for you," or "You did not ask me to write for you." I suppose the perception is there that I would have actually paid for her work, because whilst it is good, there is no way that it is good enough to warrant a value. Not in my mind, anyway. And I wonder if the site that she writes on, I wonder if it was a pay-to-view, whether she'd have the 300-plus people looking at it at a time. Now, it's interesting that I have a site that I run, and I've got a verified 8,000 each month coming to it, and I get major contributions from excellent writers and some well-known people. In fact, one of them is a television presenter, and he asks not for a penny. You see, he sees that there is mileage in attracting people to understand who you are. So we forget the point now about the permission, and let's consider the aspect of permission. If we write an article, there is copyright. If we ask and receive the permission to use it, we are in a moral agreement. And in my world, if I agree to anything, I will fulfil the contract. There is no argument I always fulfill the contract. Even if at a later date I feel the choice or the decision was incorrect, I would not revoke the original contract, and I would still honour my agreement, even if it costs me money. In fact, my partner Liz and myself have made numerous decisions we've regretted, and we have made decisions which have cost us financially, but we have never revoked a contract. You see, in the case of this blogger, she reversed an agreement and broke a moral code. And to my mind, she has evidenced her real character. Some weeks ago on this site, on Ian Timothy's Thoughts, I published some photographs of somebody who visits our market store. And he asked me for copies of the JPEGs for him to have for his own use. And of course, I agreed to that without any problem. They are JPEGs scanned of a negative. And because I have two MacBooks, I have one for my work, I have one for my personal endeavours. And all of my scans that come from my film work are put onto my personal computer. So when he asked me if I could send him some JPEGs of the pictures I took, I said, no problem, but they are stored on my personal computer. And I do not use it every day. It may take some time. In fact, Liz, my partner, would tell you that very often my personal Mac is placed into its bag and it is there for so long that sometimes the battery's flat. So it is not unknown for me to actually have a period of 7 to 10 days between my personal work. Now, I know that some people will find this almost unbelievable or an incredible thing to state. But allow me to explain why this is the case. My work, my livelihood, is to a great extent the whole of my life. I'm incredibly fortunate because the things that I love to do, writing, taking pictures, making simple videos, and recording interviews and my thoughts, are the things that I use on a daily basis for the promotion of the business that employs me, Lizzian Events, which is a events company. Now, we work with a lot of people. There are about 145 people who exhibit with us, and we call them community members each year. And those people are very important to me, and they're very important to my partner. It is absolutely essential that we prioritise them and we prioritise the events that we organise, which they attend. Now, they pay a lot of money to attend the shows, and it is exceptionally important for us to attract as many visitors to the shows as possible. For us to do that, we have to promote. Promotion is almost 90% of my contribution to the work. Liz works tirelessly. And when I say tirelessly, I could actually say that she works sometimes as many as 11 hours each day to look after the market stall, and then she begins to do all of the work for the shows. It's a never-ending job, and this is there because of the commitment that we have to those people who trust us with their work. And we love this work. It's totally enjoyable, and it's something that brings immense happiness and pleasure to us both. So every day of my life, I have a complete intellectual, emotional, and creative rewards for my work. Therefore, because my work brings me such rewards, I don't really need to worry too much or concern myself too much with outside activities, because my work actually are the things that I love. Writing, photography, videos and recordings, it's my life. Therefore, this personal computer that I have, where I do my blog posts, you're listening to one now, and things of that nature, they actually are secondary. So when I said to my friend that I would do the pictures and send them on to him, when I said to him that it could take some time, I was not joking, and I did explain to him without any doubt that he needed to understand that I have one computer for one job and the other for the other. Now, because of the way that he obviously had perceived me, he didn't see or accept that I was not, or I didn't live a life that he perceived as normal. Because I'd made a mistake with this character. Because one evening at 11 o'clock, I received a scathing and malicious email. And in it, this man said that I had let him down badly, and that I was not the person that he thought I was. And he also said that perhaps it was the nature of the English. So what did I do? I looked back and I thought that, in fact, I'd completely misjudged this man. But in reality, I hadn't misjudged him. He had made a wrong choice. He had made a wrong assessment of who I was. You see, he felt that because I'd taken a photograph, put the picture onto this site, and then offered him a couple of copies or of the pictures by email, he believed that that represented a deep bonding friendship. And he felt that my not sending of the JPEGs was evidence of my inability to fulfill promise. So it was my fault, in a way, that I led this man astray into his perception of our connectiveness together. A bit like the poor assessment that many people get of the blogger I spoke of earlier. The one that gives permission, removes it, and then when is pointed out that permission was given, she doesn't even reply to explain her point of view. You see, it evidences character. So what did I do about the person and his email? Well, I deleted the pictures, deleted the email, and removed the JPEGs. It is as simple as that. You see, as you get older, you realise that you need to be very careful about who you choose to have in your environment. And let me think for a moment. One, two. In my mind's count, I think that I can name 10 people, 11 people immediately who I can consider close. This is not to say I don't know tens of people who are trustworthy and honest, but circumstances prevent a deep and meaningful relationship with the majority of people growing, and that's the same for all of us. I made a mistake, and a very grave mistake, of allowing the photo man to think there was anything more than mutual interest collecting ourselves. And for this I feel sad, and my conscience is reminding me of the fragility of humans, and because they are easily hurt. You see, the lesson here is people can be misguided by a smile, a kind word, and a cup of coffee. You see, the whole point is that true relationships and friendships take many months or years to grow into something which is mutually beneficial. And a lot of people misjudge me or misinterpret who I am because I have become a very robust man. I had a very difficult childhood, and I certainly don't blame that for any part of my life, but I had incompetent parents, as you may have had incompetent parents. We may know somebody else. It wasn't their fault. They were people of the world war. They had no idea how to bring up children properly. And because of that situation, I've become a robust person. Some would, indeed many, would consider me as heartless and lead-hearted. And it's because they see a persona which is great for a moment, and they see a persona of somewhat generous man and happy and fair-minded, and then they are disillusioned when they are asked, they go beyond that and ask personal questions or ask my opinion, and they receive very clear, truthful and honest answers. You see, the character within one's inner being, for me, is all of those things. They are generous, happy and fair-minded. But let's be clear on the parameters. People make a mistake that when they look at me or when they ask me about going out for a meal or a drink, I'm just not interested. You see, the whole of my world is my work, my thoughts, my writing, my pictures, my creative ideas, and my intellectual rewards from doing those things. And my partner, Lizzie, is my emotional strength and my love. And with these things blended together, it means that I live to what I consider to be a perfect life. But it means that few people can, if you like, enter into the realms of my friendship. And the 10 or more so names that I've just gone through in my mental lift, I can realise that they are my spiritual and creative guides. The saying is, choose your friends wisely. And I'll add another thought. When you choose your friends, make sure your intentions are clear. And if you make a mistake of judgment, don't change the contract or agreement. In other words, if you're going to profess to be something or make yourself out to be something when you're in dialogue with other people, make sure that once you've made your ideas clear, you don't change them. Because unreliability is one of the most difficult things. And the same with the photo man. You see, he saw me as unreliable. And also, I didn't see the truth of his character. The true character of his inability to understand that when I said it would take time, I meant it would take time from my perception. And it's like the true character of the woman who pulled the plug on the sharing of her blog post. She revealed her true character to me. I couldn't see the photo man had made more of a superficial dialogue about music and a cup of coffee. And this is the reason that he sent the scathing and difficult email complaining about my unreliability and my inability to fulfil promises. And he was wrong. I would have fulfilled that promise, but only in my own time. So, that's the end of this moment of thought. It's a little bit longer than I would have anticipated, but the reason is I'm sitting on a British beach and the most beautiful day. There's people walking by and my thoughts have wandered, and now it's just started to rain. See you soon.